You know, we all want to be filled with God, right?
Yes.
We sing those songs, more of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is more of you. I heard something one time, I said, I want to be filled with God so much that when a mosquito bites me, he goes out and says, there is power in the blood. So, I don't know if you ever heard that before, but... And I believe that's the desire of each and every one of us.
Yeah, right.
Not satisfied with one experience with God, but I believe there's multiple experiences, multiple refillings of the Holy Spirit. Every time the Word opens to you, every time you receive a revelation from the Word, that's a revival.
Yes.
See? And you shouldn't take that lightly. And now the thing is getting it from here, putting it here so that it can come into action.
Right.
And that's what we desire. That's what we want. We want to act on the Word and not just have it as information. Because, you know, this scripture right here that we read in John chapter 1, verse 22. This is when the Pharisees and they came to John and said, and they were asking him this. If you start, let's see at verse 19. It says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he said, 'I am not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou?'" But now watch the reason why they were asking. They said, this is the reason why they were asking. "That we may give an answer to them that sent us, 'What sayest thou thyself?'" Now, take that right there, and you see what the purpose that they were asking. Who are you? They weren't asking because they wanted to be changed. They wanted to repent. They wanted to no. They were asking because they wanted some information.
Right.
To take back to the, but now you go and look at what happened, for example, with Paul. At that time he was Saul, when he was going on the road to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him. You know the scripture I'm talking about. He asked the exact same question. Mm-hmm. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?"
Yeah.
See, one question, the same question, one brought was just for information and knowledge, but the other one was for a transformation.
Right.
So you see, sometimes we might be we ask maybe questions, or we might have that mindset. Well, this is just information. You know, this is just knowledge, but it's got to be more than that. It's got to be for example, because Paul from that day forward was not the same again. So he knew that when that light shone on him, he said, "Lord, who art thou?" He knew that wasn't from a man. That was God. That was God on the scene. And from then on, his name changed, and his life changed from then on. So, you know, in this world that we live in, you know, where we're so getting used to, you know, Googleized answers.
Yeah.
And we ask Google things and we get the answer quickly.
Right.
You know, we're becoming very spoiled.
Oh yeah.
Because of those things, technology is really it's beneficial. It's wonderful. I think one of the greatest things for me, at least, as far as technology is concerned, is GPS.
Yeah.
Right. GPS, I mean, I think it's wonderful. And hopefully Google Maps never charges for their service. But
yeah.
But I think it's been so helpful. But really, if you think about it, I used to deliver pizzas for Papa John's.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have GPS back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I would have to look at a map and remember the route, and then I'd go and I'd get there.
That's right.
And see, now we punch it on a GPS, And the GPS is doing all the work, but back then, my mind was doing the work. So now, that's why you hear now a lot of cases of dementia, a lot of things like that, because people are not using their brain anymore. They're not adding no more wrinkles to their brain, like I was talking about earlier. That's why it's good, you know, we get involved with things that kind of exercise the mind, you know. Chess is one of my favorites, so chess is great. But we're so used to these Googleized answers now. But if you think about it, you know, God answers quickly. There's verses in the Bible that says, I will answer, you know, you call unto me and I will answer speedily. You know, just a lot of that. But it says that just lets me know that he's the original Google. He answers speedily. Maybe not at the time frame that you think that he should answer. But to him, you know, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day to him. You see? So he's the one who gives us the word. He said, I will answer you quickly. I will answer you quickly. Maybe not in your time frame. It could take 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. But to him, that's quickly. Because he knows exactly the time that you need that answer. It can't be any time sooner. It can't be any time later. It's exactly at that moment. And so that's why I call him the perfect Google. He answers quickly and he gives the exact answer. So, but you know, sometimes by the word we're either astonished by the word or we're either changed by the word. You know, there's scriptures in the Bible. For example, in Luke chapter 2, I'll go there real quick. Luke 2:47. Let's just read, I guess, from verse 42. It says, and when he was 12 years old, speaking of Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now you think, here's your child.
Yeah.
You know, shouldn't be you looking out after your child. Well, see, they were so consumed and so concerned with, because back then, they had to travel, you know, and it was like whole families traveling. And the reason why they would do it that way is because so they could protect one another from like thieves that would come on the way and things like that. So I'm sure there was a big caravan of people traveling. And so, yeah, maybe little children, if you weren't careful, they could probably get loose and you not know where they're at. But that was the case here with Mary and Joseph. And when they had fulfilled their days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, you see, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. You need to think about, you've gone a day without your child.
Without laying your eyes on it.
Yeah. But that's exactly what the Bible says. They went a day's journey without Jesus being around them. And I guess they were just so comfortable among their family, kinfolks, that, you know, well, if I don't have him, my brother or my sister, you know, they must be watching him, you know. Well, they left Jesus behind and they didn't even know that he was. And when they saw him, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. So 3 days later, they were looking for him, right? I'm sorry, verse 45, I'm getting ahead. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now that they realize they lost him, now they're looking for him. And it's the same thing with you and I, saints. If we don't realize that we need him, and you don't seek him, you're not going to find him. You know, that's why he said, seek and you shall find. You know, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And I think sometimes we have a hard time believing that. that when you go to prayer, when you get down to praying, you are a bomb, you know, before God. I mean, that's an explosion to the devil. You see, when you get down to prayer in sincerity, not just in a ritual, but in a sincere way, Lord, it's you and I, and I have this need. Sometimes maybe we don't even have to bring needs before Him. Sometimes you get in a quiet place and just listen, and just kind of just meditate on Him. That brings him on the scene. I don't know for me, saints, but just being personal with you, what helps me enter in is, I know He's a king, right? And I just feel like I'm coming before Him, and He's sitting on the throne. He's sitting on the throne, and I imagine the Hoffman's head of Christ. You see the way He's looking, and He's looking at me concerned. He's looking at me with a concern that He's concerned about, that He wants me to feel good. He wants me to meet my need. And so that kind of helps me enter in, see? So visualize Him in that way, if that will help you, you know? Visualize Him in those ways, because it's good to enter into good, sincere prayer. But anyways, here's Mary and Joseph, and they lost him. And so they go back and looking for Him in verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now watch verse 47. And all that heard Him, Jesus now, all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. But we never read where they were changed by His understandings and answers. People are astonished. That's powerful. Man. But nothing ever happens by that. They never take action by those things. You see? For whatever reason. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, see, they were amazed. And I think a lot of people sometimes they come to church and they're amazed. And it's a lot like that at the beginning. When you don't have a real grounded word birth, it's like that at the beginning. It could be like that. You have to be very careful to not just be astonished by the word, or astonished by the revelation, or astonished by the depth of the word. Oh man, that's powerful. But then you go out and then we don't do anything about that. That's what kills us. That's what hurts us. And so many times, you know, we've seen it, you know, probably here in this church, we've seen it, that people, you see them very excited about the word, see them very, and then some point later, they're not here anymore. So it's one thing to be astonished by the word and changed by the word. I want to be changed by the word. See, I want to be changed. It's okay at the beginning to be astonished and amazed. I believe that's the human element of it. Because a revelation, think about it, saints, a revelation isn't something that just goes directly to your heart. When you hear the word, it doesn't just go directly to your heart. You have to process it here first. Right? You have to hear it here, then process it here, the human element of it, then it goes down to the heart. But that's if you continue in that word. Because not all the time, not right away, God gives you a revelation. Sometimes you could hear maybe Brother Dale saying something or a minister saying something, and you know that's the truth. But now, you know that's the truth, you're not disputing it, but it may not be till like 2 years later that you say, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I had heard back 2 years before. Oh my goodness, and now that causes you to take action on that. That's a revelation right there. That's a revelation. The best example I can give is water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people out here baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. but it's not a revelation to them. I mean, you can know water baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. That's just information. Sometimes we get it confused with revelation, knowing. But when you act on it, and you know the purpose, the reason why you're doing it, that's the full revelation of it. See? The revelation of the word to you, I believe, is it's taking the physical part of it, but then acting on that as well. Amen. Praise God. We got a couple more minutes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I know everybody's tired and everybody had the fall festival yesterday and everything. But just hang on. Just hold on.
She says, I am.
She's awake. She's like, I'm not sleeping.
I'll wake them up for you.
I love everybody smiling.
Matthew 7, 28 and 29. The Bible says here, and it came to pass. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. But we don't hear, we don't read where that doctrine changed them. See? We just see that they were astonished. Look at the word astonished. Amazed. Astonished. In another place I was looking at last night, gave some a different to stun or strike dumb with sudden fear, terror, surprise, or wonder, to amaze, to confound with some sudden passion. Daniel was astonished at the vision. Now we're astonished. That's wonderful. That's okay. That's good. Now let's do something about it. Right? Let's. Because the word is not in deed only or in word only. Amen. We don't want it just information. We want a transformation by that word. Amen. To strike with sudden fear, to strike with sudden and usually greater wonder or surprise. Amen. Praise God. And in another instance, like in John 7:32, they said about then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you brought him? Officers answered, never a man spake like this man. But that never changed them. You see? We don't see where those officers, you know, in that specific scripture, they were changed, that they followed Jesus. Or they maybe, I don't know if they were in the upper room or not. See? The word will cause you to act on that word. Amen. And that's what we want to do, is act on the word. Praise God. See, Jesus, for example, the phrase, thou hast the words of eternal life, right? Peter said those things. Where can we go? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. But when Peter said that, he wasn't born again. You see? He had it here. And he knew that was the Christ. But really what sealed it for him was when he got the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Because what happened, that he received about him knowing the Christ caused him to act on the day of Pentecost. He took action. Boldness came upon him and he started speaking the word. And it was building one word on top of word, on top of word, on top of word. And so it put him to action when that really became a revelation. That now you're not just the Christ, but you're my Lord. Lord the Christ, you see? Jesus was recognized in his day not as a powerful speaker, but as a speaker of powerful words. So sometimes we don't always need to have the hoot and hollering. That's wonderful. But we pay attention to the words that are being spoken, you know. That's what brings power, see? And amen. So anybody have any comments or anything like that? So let's just a little thought, you know, it wasn't anything big. We're running out of time. It's just to be not just be astonished by the word, but let's be changed by the word.
Amen.
And there's other examples you can read. This is the truth.
I was saying that's probably why people were astonished when Jesus was speaking, because they were considering his age, and the words that he was speaking were powerful, like you just said.
Right, yes. Like when he was 12 years old, talking to
He was 12, yeah.
And you know, him being the word. Now, you know, I think it was Brother Brandon that said something on the lines of, he probably may not even known that he was saying those things. Jesus at that age. I mean, you think of a 12-year-old saying, you know, Bella, she's 12 years old. You know, you can see her maturity level, and sometimes they might say things, they might not even know what they're talking about. In their mind, they might think they do. But sometimes, you know, but it was because he was the word. See, all of God was in him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that word speaking through you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's a quote from Brother Brandon, if I'm not mistaken. Brother Brandon, I heard it the other day. So. Any other comments or questions? We've got like 2 more minutes.
So allow your astonishment to change.
Absolutely. And the word astonishment, it goes hand in hand with amazed. You know, we sing, I'm amazed. All right, let's do something about it. I'm amazed that you love me.
Yeah.
Well, I love you too, Lord.
Yeah.
And let me show it.
Yeah.
Let me show it to you. And how do we show it? By loving one another, by the way we treat one another. Because John said that, you know. You love God. If you say you love God, you're going to love one another.
Amen.
Sister Barbara.
I was just thinking, he said, I heard Brother Sam preach for years, and then suddenly one day it hits me, hey, that's me, that's my experience. You know?
Yeah.
And that's when I get amazed.
Absolutely. Yeah. God is wonderful, saints.
Absolutely.
I believe God is doing great things in our midst,
absolutely,
even in this hour. Sometimes, you know, we think that things have to be done a certain way. But you know, God knows exactly what we need,
yes,
how it needs to be,
absolutely,
in order to affect us according to your makeup.
Yes, absolutely.
Because the way he deals with Brother Bob may not be the exact same way he deals with me, because Brother Bob is made up a different way than I am. But it's always going to be by the word, by the truth. So God bless y'all. We can go ahead and be
dismissed. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Yeah.